Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. I'd like for us to continue our series on the subject of how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no passage in Scripture that specifically gives us the steps on how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But as we study the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, that enables us to glean and note foundational principles that will equate to the Spirit-filled life. And that's what we're endeavouring to do and have been doing so as we've studied the subject on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in Matthew chapter 1, please, I'd like for us to read verses 18 to 20. I know it's not Christmas, but it's still okay to read a Christmas passage, the Scripture. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 20, the Bible reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege to serve you. And we ask, O God in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you would help us to have a greater understanding concerning the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. That we might serve you not in our own strength, but in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. That your Son, the Lord Jesus, might be glorified. I pray that you would encourage our hearts this morning, and that you would lead us into truth and understanding, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture gives us a record concerning the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And within this passage of Scripture, it is defined, that is, the virgin birth of Christ, it is defined as Mary being found with child of the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches us the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and she was found with child. This is a fundamental doctrine for those of us that call ourselves Bible-believing Christians. Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. I'd like for us to note this morning a further principle concerning how we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it lies within the name, the Holy Spirit. Thus far we've noted from John chapter 16 verses 7 to 14, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must know God the Holy Spirit. And for those of you that are involved in our life stage ministry, I trust that you are enjoying and diligently attending to the teaching concerning the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So first and foremost, we must know Him. And secondly, we stress the fact that we must acknowledge His presence in our lives by depending upon Him. In Galatians 5, 16 and 17, the Bible teaches us that we are to walk in the Spirit. And that encompasses the principle of you and I acknowledging the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. If you have received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, if there has been a time in your life that you repented of your sin, and by faith you invited Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior from sin, at that very moment you were regenerated, you were made alive in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we read of that in our Bible reading this morning, in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. The Holy Spirit of God indwells every blood-bought child of God, every born-again Christian. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge His presence. If the truth be known, the average Christian does not live with the awareness of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within them. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must acknowledge His presence. We acknowledge His presence by depending upon Him. That's what the phrase, walk in the Spirit, is referring to. I acknowledge one's presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, by living in dependence upon Him. Principle number 3 we've noted thus far, if we are to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, the Bible teaches us that we are to thirst for His fullness. And the Lord Jesus clearly spelled out within that passage of Scripture, He was referring to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. We must thirst for God's fullness upon our lives. A child of God that really does have a spiritual thirst for God will give evidence of that by following after Christ, walking in obedience to God's Word. And the Lord Jesus said, for those that thirst, the Lord Jesus invites us to drink. How do we spiritually drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we noted the word ask. The Lord Jesus said to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, as Bible-believing Christians, He indwells us. The asking is in relation to you and I being controlled by Him. The Spirit of God lives within us as Christians, but He will not work contrary to our will. He will try and prompt us. That's why within the child of God, within the child of God, the life of the child of God, there's a part of us that wants to do right. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But then there's a portion of us that really has no desire to do right and constantly fights that which is right. That's the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. And if you are a Bible-believing Christian this morning, there should be the evidence of that battle within your heart. And may I submit to you, if there is no struggle within your heart concerning right and wrong and wanting to do right and wanting to say no to wrong, then maybe you need to just get born again and become a child of God. If your life is just a one-way street, then it could well be that you are a professing Christian, but you are not a possessing Christian. And the Lord Jesus said, drink. This is available to all of God's people. And we noted last week concerning the fact that we want God's fullness upon our lives, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to bring greater glory to Almighty God. Motives are very important to God. God takes note of the intents of the heart. So thus far we've noted from the Scriptures, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must know God the Holy Spirit. We must study Him. Secondly, we must acknowledge His presence by depending upon Him. And thirdly, we need to thirst for God the Holy Spirit. We need to thirst for God's fullness upon our lives. Ask for God the Holy Spirit to fill us with His presence. Lesson number four this morning, concerning how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, is found within the name, the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Names should mean something. What is your name? What do people think of when your name is mentioned? Names do have meaning. And especially within the context of God's Word, whenever somebody was given a name, it was given that name for a reason, for a purpose, to convey a message. Joseph was told to name this child conceived of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was told, you will call his name Jesus. Verse 21. Why? Because the name Jesus means Savior. Joseph, you will call this child found within the womb of Mary Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. When you think of the name Judas Iscariot, what comes to mind? What about Paul the Apostle? What about Julia Gillard? What about Tony Abbott? What comes to mind when a name is mentioned? I would dare say, in principle, when a name is mentioned, you tend to automatically switch to something about them. A quality or no quality within that life. So your focus is not so much on the spelling of the name, but your focus is upon that life behind that name. And my friend, this morning, as we study the subject of God the Holy Spirit, I'd like for us to note that the title given there in verse 18 and verse 20 concerning God the Spirit is the Holy Ghost. And as you study the New Testament, you will find that the Spirit of God is referred to as the Holy Ghost no less than 90 times. You will find the name, the Holy Ghost, within the New Testament. Now, in contrast to that, you will find the name, the Holy Spirit, only mentioned four times in the New Testament, which I found surprising. The Holy Spirit, four times in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost, 90 times within the New Testament. We see the name Spirit of God some 11 times in the New Testament. And I thought about that, and I was gently rebuked by the fact that I tend to refer to God the Spirit as God the Holy Spirit more than God the Holy Ghost. And yet, if you follow the pattern of Scripture, we see predominantly within these Scriptures, God the Spirit is predominantly referred to as God the Holy Ghost. And you'll find the reason being is that God the Holy Spirit is more in reference to His work, and God the Holy Ghost has more of a reference to His person, who He is, God the Spirit. And my friend, this morning, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we must understand and honor this attribute of holiness. So in total, 94 times, as opposed to 11 times, the Spirit of God is referred to as being holy. He is the Holy Spirit. And I'm laboring this point because holiness is the chief attribute by which God reveals Himself in Scripture. And as God appeared before Joshua there in Joshua chapter 5 verse 15, He told him to remove his sandals because the place where he stood was holy ground. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, the Bible teaches us, "Be holy, for I am holy." And please turn with me to Exodus chapter 39, please. Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39, verse 30. This portion of Scripture is in reference to the garments prepared for those involved in the priesthood. And note here in verse number 30, the Bible reads, "And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and wrote upon it a writing like to the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord." So these Old Testament priests that were involved in the leading of God's people in worship, they had inscribed upon their main garment, holiness to the Lord. And as God's people observed these priests fulfilling their responsibilities on their behalf, they noted the wording, holiness to the Lord. And my friend, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we need to live holy lives. Why would God anoint His fullness upon a life that is plagued with uncleanness? It's contrary to God's nature, because He is God, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that we are to live holy lives. The word holiness means to be set apart from sin, and to be set apart unto God. Just like a coin has two sides to it. Heads, that we would consider the positive side of the coin. Tails, we would consider the negative side of the coin. Holiness has a negative and a positive, and that balances God's holiness. We are to be set apart from sin, separated from sin, and we are to be set apart unto God. And the Bible teaches us that we are to live holy lives. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then our lives must have the quality of holiness. Holiness. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. First Thessalonians, chapter 4. Note verses 3 and 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's another word for holiness. That ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor. So the Bible teaches us it is the will of God that you and I live sanctified, holy lives. He is God, the Holy Ghost. And brethren, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we must honor him and take note of his name. He is God, the Holy Ghost. He is God, the Holy Spirit. Holiness means everything to God, because he is holy. And therefore God calls us to live holy lives. And if we are to experience the fullness of God's Spirit upon our lives, we likewise need to live holy lives. Let's go to John, please, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse number 3. How can we live a life of holiness and thereby be filled with the Holy Spirit? In John, chapter 15, verse number 3, our Lord Jesus said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Within the scriptures, we'll find in passages like in Ephesians chapter 5 that God's word is referred to as water. Water has the ability to not only impart life, but also to cleanse life. And I'm learning as I'm getting a little bit older concerning the importance of having and drinking plenty of water. It has a purifying effect. It cleanses our bodies. And it's no coincidence that water is used in the scriptures to convey the principle of cleansing. And brethren, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I believe we need to begin by having our lives daily cleansed with the Word of God. And as we read the Scriptures on a daily basis, because it is the cleansing Word, it will purify our hearts. And it will keep our vessel clean and honorable before Almighty God. Haven't you found from time to time when you've dared to read a larger portion of Scripture, and you've done so with the right spirit, haven't you found that you have felt clean or cleansed? There's something about the Word of God that has a cleansing effect upon our lives. I guess, ladies, you can liken to the fact that with our homes, there is that element of where we clean our homes on a regular basis. There are some routine cleaning procedures that we go through. But then at other times there are those situations where we clean because we've created a mess, i.e. following a meal. Those dishes need to be cleansed. Why? Because we've just had a meal, we've prepared a meal, and therefore that automatically leads to dishes and cutlery and kitchenware that needs to be cleansed. So, ladies, we understand the principle that within our home, within our housekeeping, there is that element of where we routinely go through cleansing procedures. We keep certain areas of the home clean on a routine basis. But yet there is that other element of where we clean on the spot. And brethren, we as God's people, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, can I put forward to you that we must be filled with the Word of God? To be filled with the Word of God is synonymous to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And why is that the case? Because the Holy Spirit of God will take full possession of a clean vessel. And the Lord Jesus said, if you want to abide in me and bear fruit, more fruit and much fruit and fruit that remains, your life needs to be cleansed with the Word of God. Let's also go to 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. Are you still with me this morning? I know we're all tired. I'm tired. I know you're tired. But this is very important. Please, if I can have your attention. I think this is so overlooked. We fail to just take care of the basics. And we wonder why we don't live lives victorious. Because we overlook the basics. The Christian life was not meant to be complicated. It amazes me how Christians are experts on complicating the Christian life. Have you found that? It doesn't have to be complicated. There are some foundational principles. And if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, He is God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Spirit. So we need to fill our lives with God's Word. It cleanses us daily, momentarily. But also here in 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 8 and 9 it reads, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's strong wording, isn't it? And the truth is not in us. But verse 9, if we confess our sins. The word confess then means to agree with God. When you confess, you are agreeing with another party. We confess our sins, we agree with God. Yes, I have sinned. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Plural. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, our spiritual house needs to be regularly cleaned with the Word of God. And secondly, we need to confess and forsake known sin. We need to confess and forsake known sin, whether it be a sin within the realm of our attitudes, our speech, our actions. We need to confess, and God promises to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And this involves you and I having an open heart before God. Just as David did in Psalm 139, please. Let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. The psalmist said, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. Verse 24. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. My friend, will you be bold enough to pray such a prayer? Let me warn you. He might reveal some sin in your life that needs to be dealt with. And brethren, if we are serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we need to cleanse our hearts daily by reading and meditating upon the Word of God, and also as we ask the Lord to reveal shortcomings in our lives, when God brings it to the surface, may God grant us the humility to say, I confess, Lord, that's a wrong attitude. I've had a wrong attitude. What I said to so-and-so the other day, that wasn't right. And Lord, what I've chosen to commit to is not right. Lord, I confess. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask for your cleansing. And immediately God's Son, the blood of Jesus Christ, provides cleansing upon your heart and my heart. Brethren, we need to be clean vessels. We can personally sin against God the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about quenching God the Spirit. Quickly, 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 5. How can we sin against God the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible teaches us we can specifically sin against Him. The Bible makes reference to blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. That, in its stricter context, is in reference to a person that rejects the gospel, that rejects the prompting of the Holy Spirit to salvation. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. And the Lord Jesus said, this sin will not be forgiven. Obviously, because they haven't received God's salvation. But outside of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which can only be committed by a person that's not a Christian, by rejecting God's offer of eternal life, as a Bible-believing Christian, I can possibly sin against the Holy Spirit by quenching Him. Note verse 19 here. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Quench not the Spirit. The word quench there means to extinguish. It has the idea of extinguishing or putting out God's power in our lives by quenching God the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we quench God the Holy Spirit? Well, look at the verses leading up to verse 19. Verse 15 talks about don't render evil for evil unto any man. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Verse 17. In everything give thanks. Let me ask you this morning, my friend, are you returning good for evil? Are we praying without ceasing? Are we choosing to rejoice? Are we thankful? Brethren, if we are not rejoicing, if we are not praying without ceasing, if we are not thankful, it could well be that we are quenching God the Holy Spirit. That's the context, is it not? Talk to me. That's the context. Oh, but Pastor, I'm not committing a vile, horrible sin, but let me ask you, are you thankful? Are you in prayer? Are we choosing to rejoice? Are we choosing to be right, though others have wronged us? Quenching God the Holy Spirit. But also the Bible teaches us that we can possibly grieve God the Holy Spirit. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, please. I'm almost there. Bear with me. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 30, the Bible reads, and grieve not, and grieve not, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The word grieve there means to sadden, to cause one to weep, to cause one to cry. He is God the Holy Spirit. He's God, the Holy Ghost. Now what can sadden God the Spirit in our lives? Well, look at verse 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Look at verse number 29. Corrupt communication. So when the Christian is involved in these sinful choices, God, the Spirit of God, who abides within us, is saddened, is grieved. And brethren, if we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we must bear in mind that He is God, the Holy Spirit. And He is very sensitive to sin. Please, one more passage of Scripture. John chapter 16. Gospel of John chapter 16. As our Lord was introducing God the Holy Spirit to the disciples, note here verses 8 to 11 it reads, John chapter 16 verses 8 to 11, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, the devil, is judged. So as God the Son was introducing to you and me, God the Holy Spirit, He revealed to the disciples that God the Spirit is sensitive towards sin. And He will have a ministry of reproving and addressing sin. Why is that? Because He is God, the Holy Ghost. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He is holy. And the Bible calls you and I, His people, to live holy lives. Oh, my friend. 1 Thessalonians 4:8 reads, and listen carefully, He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. So the context of this is holiness. When you and I, God's people, fail to see the importance of living a holy life, listen to me, that's despising God. That's like, let me illustrate, that's like slapping God in the face. That word despise is a very, very strong word. Could you imagine being slapped in the face? It's humiliating. I've been slapped in the face before. Fear not, not by my wife. And you know what? I can still remember the times that I've been slapped across the face. Every time I think of it, it's still hurts a little. It's humiliating. And when you and I don't take seriously that He is God, the Holy Spirit, it's like you and I slapping God in the face. That's how seriously God sees holiness. I wish we would see it as God sees it. And if we are to be controlled by God the Holy Spirit, then we must reflect we must reflect upon his name. He is God the Holy. Let's say it together. Holy. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. Holy. God is holy. And if you want the fullness of God's Spirit upon your life, we must be holy. Let's be upstanding, please.